Savior Jesus Christ. Well, as we just sang, "Behold, behold your King." Some of the men who went to the men's group meeting this last week heard a little bio about me, and my daughter added a couple little phrases to the bio, I think to embarrass me. What was it she said? She said, "My least favorite foods are those salt and vinegar chips and tofu." I don't know that those are my least favorite, but they might be up there. And then she said, "His favorite colors are maize and blue," which is true for the University of Michigan Wolverines. it was kind of funny after the first service. Kurt Wozniak comes up to me and he says to me, "I see you're wearing Ohio State colors today." His son went to Ohio State. So, University of Michigan has a fight song called "The Victors." "Hail to the Victors Valiant." And, of course, I was thinking about that. I mean, I think about that song a lot, but I was thinking about it this week, you know, as this procession comes in, we're singing "Hosanna, loud Hosanna, glory, laud, and honor to our Redeemer King." And it sounds like, "Hail to the victors. Our Lord is a victor. Our banner today, crown him the Lord of life." Crown him. Who do you crown? You crown a king. A king. Well, our hymns give some good perspective on that today. You see, in Jesus' time and in ancient times, when a king would conquer another nation, he would return in glory with an army marching behind him. When we sing, "No tramp of soldiers' marching feet," there's no army behind Jesus today when he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. Donkey is a symbol of peace. And they didn't have ticker tape back in those days for their parades. So the people cut down branches from trees or laid their cloaks in front of the king, or in this case, Jesus, riding into Jerusalem. "This is our king," they said. "Hail a king of Israel." John writes down, they cut down palm branches from palm trees. Literally, that's what the translation is. Palm branches from palm trees. That's where we get Palm Sunday. The only one of the evangelists, they all mention Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He's the only one who says palm branches from palm trees. The palm was a symbol of victory and a symbol of the nation, really, the nation of Israel. God had said in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." So that on their coins, they didn't have a picture of anybody. Jewish coins, they had a picture of a palm. A palm. Of course, the Romans didn't. But this was a Jewish celebration. This was Passover week, the biggest week of the year. The time when the population of Jerusalem would swell to three times its normal size. Everybody was squeezed in for the celebration. And here Jesus rides in. This man who had raised Lazarus from the dead, everybody's talking about him. That's the buzz on the street. Who is this Jesus, this prophet, who says these wonderful, profound things? I don't understand what he's saying, but he sure makes miracles. He's coming here for the Passover. What's going to happen? Anticipation. Well, they knew glory when they saw it, or at least they thought they did. They see Jesus coming, riding into Jerusalem, the biggest day of the year, the biggest week of the year for the Jewish nation. Here's the Messiah, the Christ indeed. For them, It's a glorious day. But they didn't know what was going to happen. You see, that same crowd who proclaimed Jesus the King of Israel on Sunday would be crying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," on Friday. "We want Barabbas, not Him. Crucify Him." That's the real Jesus. That's the Jesus of the cross. The one who came on Palm Sunday not to become a king and lord it over everyone, not to drive out the Romans or do whatever people wanted, but to suffer, to be shamed, naked, and die on a cross. In our first hymn, we sang, "The Redeemer King." He's our King only because He redeems us. Because it's only on the cross that Jesus is glorified. Only on the cross do we see Jesus' glory as our Savior. Not just as anyone's Savior, not just as the Savior of the people of Israel 2,000 years ago, but your Savior and my Savior. Our Savior. Dear Christian brothers and sisters, the question that I would like you to ponder this Holy Week is this. Do you want the easy Jesus who rode in on a donkey on Palm Sunday? Or do you want the real Jesus? The one on the cross on Good Friday? Do you want everything made right in your life by simple snap of your fingers or God's fingers? Like that easy, glorious ride into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? Or do you really want the real Jesus? The one who comes willingly not to take the easy road, but to take the hard road of suffering and death on a cross. The one who comes to have His body broken for you. Just like the palm branches that were walked upon by a donkey are broken, so was Jesus' body broken for you. He's the one who promises something to you too, in this life. He doesn't promise that you will never suffer in your earthly life. He tells you the truth. You will suffer. And He will suffer and die with you. That's His promise to you. He's the one who promises that your glory will come in your resurrection because of Him. He's the one who raises you from the dead on Easter. That's what we prepare for this week. That's what we prepare for in our lives, for our resurrection through Jesus Christ. That's what's to come. And for that, you must believe in Him. You must believe in Him even though you must suffer too. Even though that there's going to be pain in this life, this mortal coil which ends in death, believe in Him through that. Now, you have a good income or good health insurance or good assets, good family, it's tempting to trust in those things. It's tempting. It's tempting to want a superficial Jesus then, who I only need to deal with an hour a week on Sunday. But that's not the real Jesus. And if you struggle, on the other hand, with debt, or if you struggle with a health issue, or problems in your family, and if you want a Jesus that will just make everything right with the snap of a finger, make all those bad things go away, well, that's tempting too. But that's not the real Jesus. Early in John's Gospel, when Jesus was in Jerusalem for an earlier Passover, he meets Nicodemus. He speaks to him and says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And you know this part. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Later, Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he." Now Jesus rides into Jerusalem for the last week of his mortal life. And he's about to say this to his disciples. "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. When he's lifted up on the cross, he draws you to him by showing who he is and what he has done for you. This week, think about your life. If it depended on you, what you have done for him, don't trust in that. Don't trust in what you've done for your king. Trust in what your Redeemer King has done for you by going to the cross for your sin. Because he knows that you live in sin. He knows that you live in pain and suffering in this life, and it has to end. And it will end with the real Jesus on the real cross. That's what's going on here. That's his glory. To see the Son of Man lifted up on a cross. Lifted up to be seen. Lifted up to be beheld. Lifted up to be believed in and trusted. For he's not only glorified in the eyes of God the Father, he's glorified in your eyes and in my eyes for what he's done for us. There on the cross, in his broken body, you and I have redemption. That's why he's our Redeemer King. As a church, we've entered into this most solemn week of the year. And it's a time of what I call solemn glory. Not worldly glory like hail to the victors valiant. No, solemn glory. Glory of the Lamb of God who comes to lay down his life for you and me. But the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ was not senseless violence. It had a purpose. A glorious purpose. Glorious for God because of what he did for you and me. And glorious for us because of what it means for us. On the last day and on this day, I pray that Jesus' death and resurrection will mean that for you, to give you hope and comfort in this life, this week, and every week of your life, until the last week, and even the last hour, when you wait to see him face to face. In the name of Jesus, amen.